I'm Walter Parker, and I'm in VPR Stetson Studio One with members of the Opera Company of Middlebury. We have artistic director Douglas Anderson, conductor Jeffrey Rink. We have four singers and pianist Mary Jane Austin in the role of Puccini's orchestra today. And we're going to get a preview of their production of Tosca by Puccini, which opened last night. Doug Anderson with us here. Before we get to Tosca, though, Doug, I have to congratulate you on your Vermont Arts Council Award.
Thank you very much.
You're receiving the Arthur Williams Award for Meritorious Service to the Arts, and well-deserved.
It's quite an honor. Thank you very much.
There will be a ceremony at
Middlebury College, yes.
Mahaney Center for the Arts on 26th or so, somewhere. Wednesday, October 23rd.
That's right.
And so good luck with that.
Thank you.
But certainly well earned. And now to Tosca. Now, have you ever done Tosca before?
Well, you know, when we were starting out as an opera company, we started with Carmen and Tosca. This is back in 2004, 2005. We didn't have any money. We didn't know if anybody would come. And we did, I believe, well, we did basically a three-person version, edited version, 90 minutes. I think there might have been five musicians in the pit, you know. But the tenor happened to be a man named Yong-Hoon Lee, who has now turned out to be a major tenor. And as a matter of fact, he sang his first Don José and first Mario with us, and now he's singing them at La Scala. And so we feel we taught him everything he knows. But we got off on a great, great, you know, start. And but this is the first time we've done a full production of it.
Now, this is high drama, melodrama, not a barrel of laughs.
We got a couple. It was referred to as a shabby little shocker when it was first produced. But what you love about it is it is intensely dramatic, and also it moves along at a really fast clip. There are no slow parts of this. It feels almost cinematic in its sweep, how it just keeps driving and has a wonderful momentum and a terrific story. You can see why Puccini was drawn to it.
Now, you have two more performances at Town Hall Theater in Middlebury, mm-hmm. your regular base venue. Mm-hmm. And then next week, you're going to take it on tour.
Right. This is the second season where we've taken our fall production on tour. And so we'll be playing three venues and designing a show that's going to fit into four very different spaces is a real challenge. But we're really eager to get really a quality product, professional opera. If our job is to bring opera to new audiences, we felt we have to do it beyond the boundaries of Addison County, hence taking the shows on the road.
So there'll be stops in Cambridge, New York at Hubbard Hall.
Yes.
And you'll be at Spruce Peak Performing Arts Center in Stowe, mm-hmm. and also in Woodstock.
Yes, exactly, at the Town Hall in Woodstock.
And people can find all those details at your website, ocmvermont.org. To find out about where they can see Tosca. Well, why don't you set us up for Tosca?
For a little Tosca. And have Jeffrey talk about it as well.
Sure. First of all, it's a pleasure to finally meet you, Walter. I've heard you on the radio for a while now.
You've conducted with Opera Company of Middlebury before.
I have. But I've not made the sojourn up here to the studio.
So glad to have you.
Thank you. So we're going to begin today with the Act One aria of Mario Cavaradossi, our tenor, sung by James Flora. And he is joined by Eric Kroenke, who's the sacristan. The sacristan sort of provides some local color, he gets a few laughs in the first act. And James Flora will sing Mario. Mario is a painter. Mario is the lover of Tosca. And you'll hear the aria when it begins. Mary Jane, when she plays it, you'll hear a chromatic scale going up in the strings. And that scale sort of represents the mixing of various colors on his painter's palette. And then finally, he has the entire repertoire of paint there. And it's interesting because he's singing about these variety of women and how they're all beautiful, and one is blonde and one is brunette and one has dark eyes and one has blue eyes, sort of comparing it to the palette that he's holding in his hand. So this is Recondite Armonia with James Flora and the sacristan Eric Kroenke, accompanied by Mary Jane Austin.
Thank you. verza quei fante lascia stare I santi.
Et ebel tote ignota, cinto di chiome bionde, tu azzurra l'occhio, tosca l'occhio ne.
Scherza coi fante, lascia stare I santi.
L'arte nel suo mistero, le diverse bellezze insiem confonde, ma nel ritrar costei, il mio solo pensiero.
Stare santi. Ma con quei cani di Volteriani, nemici del Santissimo Governo, non c'è da metter voce. Scherza coi fanti e lascia stare I santi. Già sono penitenti tutti quanti. Facciam piuttosto il segno della croce.
Recondite Armonia from Puccini's Tosca, sung for us by tenor James Flora as Cavaradossi, and Eric Kronka was sacristan.
That's right. That's right.
Thank you very much, James.
Thanks for having me. This is my fourth time, I think, on the show.
Is it four?
I think so.
What did you do with Middlebury before?
So I was here, I think, with Nisias, my first show in Thais, and then I was in Traviata here, and I think I even came and did Dido.
You played a very small role as a luxury casting, yeah. Let me tell you.
Mitch. I sang Mitch in Streetcar the summer before.
Yes, I recall.
We do a thing with our fall production, which is we don't have auditions for them. We only hire alums of the company. So we bring back people we already know and love and know that they work in the way we like to work. And it's always so in the fall, it's always just like old home week around.
Well, so now you've worked in many other companies as well.
Yeah.
So what is unique about Middlebury?
I would say the atmosphere is what's unique about Middlebury. Doug, as many of you know, has a no divas policy. except we have to have a diva in this show because this is all about the diva, right? But I said this last night. We had a talk back after the show last night. And every time I do a show, I come to Middlebury, I know I'm going to meet someone new. And because I know the quality people that Doug and Mary hire, that I'm going to have a new friend for life in the cast, at least one. And someone joked, well, now you have six friends because I've done six shows. But I've made so many friends with Middlebury, and not that I don't make friends in other companies that I've sung at, but I have very special friends that are here that have come here, or people that I've worked with before. And of course, I know that Doug and the board will be attracted to those people as well. And then they show up in my life here in Middlebury. It's beautiful.
I can add that one of the reasons why we bring back people we know and love like Jamie is because we bring back people who are willing to take some chances and to do things in, as you know, Walter, often unorthodox ways. And this Tosca is
not orthodox.
It's not orthodox.
What would surprise someone familiar with Tosca about this production?
Well, you know, like all great works of art, you know, Tosca seems very contemporary to me mm-hmm. right now. It is about, especially in this age of Me Too, it is about a man of power attempting to rape a beautiful woman. And one of the problems I have with some productions of Tosca is, you know, it's supposedly set in 1800. Okay, so Tosca's wearing, you know, 100 pounds of clothing, and she's got her petticoats, etc. And Scarpia, the villain, has lace on his wrists and has a powdered wig, and it all seems sort of very distant and museum-like. We wanted to make what was really happening in this show very raw and very immediately. So we're setting it in roughly the present because I wanted to make it physical, and I wanted to... Well, our act two is scaring the heck out of people because they are getting ambushed by the fact that what's really in this script... And, you know, I'm always drawn to story. Mm. I'm always drawn to story. What's in the script is alarming the way... Especially in war... We're also foregrounding the war. We're at war here in this script. That in times of war, sometimes ethics and morality just fly out the window. And as we know, men take advantage of women. So we're making it very real, raw, and, for want of a better word, contemporary.
Yeah. Well, the Napoleonic Wars are spilling into Italy.
Exactly.
And that's in the background of all this.
And there's a lovely moment when Jamie's character in Act Two learns that, you know, that the rebels have won and sings this great victory song that pretty much leads to his execution.
Yeah, that's what really gets me in trouble. I tell him, you know, liberty's on the rise and tyrants are falling, and he's like, get him out of here.
Wonderful political undercurrent in this piece, which I love.
Another cool little touch that I don't know if Doug mentioned or not is it is contemporary, and instead of seeing or just having offstage singing, we watch it on TV. So instead of hearing her cantata in from the church, we see it on TV. And at one point where he's sick of my denials, he turns off the TV angrily and says, for the last time, tell me where Angelotti is. And that was a cool dramatic element that I don't think you're going to see in any other Tosca.
You're referring to Baron Scarpia, the villain.
Exactly.
Yes, Scarpia.
Exactly.
Well, James Flora, thank you very much. And Douglas Anderson, artistic director. Let's get Suzanne up here.
All right. Okay, great.
Because we're going to hear from her next as Tosca, Suzanne Kontorski, who is... Yeah.
There.
Would you like to
join us,
chat with us for a second, Suzanne, before you sing,
okay,
if you don't mind?
Not at all. Thank you for having me.
Suzanne has starred in more OCM productions than any other singer and has been spectacular in all of them.
And she has roots right here in Vermont.
That's mm-hmm. right. My hometown is Danby, Vermont, so not too far away.
And you've done what other productions with Middlebury?
Let's see. My first production with Middlebury was La Boheme, where I sang Mimi. And I have sung Leila in Pearl Fishers and Tatiana in Yevgeny Onegin. And I think
Suar Angelica.
And Suar Angelica was the most recent one. That was with my real son was made his operatic debut when he was six. and this will be my fifth production. Yes.
Have you done Tosca before?
This is my first Tosca. So. It's a challenge.
How do you find her?
This is one of those pieces that is scary for reasons that are probably non-musical. This is the most iconic show in Verismo repertoire, and everyone has very strong opinions about it, both musically and dramatically. So I think for me, you know, there's been a bit of imposter syndrome trying to overcome, you know, how to make this mine and not someone else's. You know, I mean, I think you run the risk of being compared often to other really great artists that have come before you and done this piece. And so I think my biggest attempt was to take some large risks and really make it something that would come directly from me rather than from the past.
Well, Tosca herself is a singer.
She is.
And has a very heroic love for Cavaradossi.
Yes, she does.
That she tries to save him, but the evil is just too much. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think a big overarching theme for Tosca, if I could boil it down to even a single word, is loyalty. You know, we have, you know, actually for maybe all the characters in some degree. In fact, you know, Doug had mentioned, you know, how morality and things can kind of go out the window when you're faced up against situations that you that are desperate. You know, I'm sure that Scarpia in his role, you know, is doing exactly what he thinks is right at the time, you know, and mm-hmm. and Cavaradossi the same and Tosca the same. They're all in their own idea of what's right for the moment.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't you introduce Vici d'arte, which is one of the big moments in the...
it's a very big moment.
Which is what we're going to hear.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes, I will... I'm singing that now.
No, let's talk about it
talking
just
about it?
Briefly,
okay.
Because here's another thing that you'll not see in any other production. And it was we have wonderful... There's a great give and take in our companies.
Mm-hmm.
Suzanne said to me very early on, before we even got into rehearsal, I don't want this to be an aside. You know, Callas... famously hated this aria because it stops all of the action. The mm-hmm. act two has this amazing momentum and suddenly it stops dead mm-hmm. and she sings this aria. And Suzanne said to me, I don't want it to be an aside.
It's weird.
I've never heard more wise words spoken. And so we pursued that in rehearsal. So the, for want of a better word, attempted rape continues through Vici d'arte, and it is harrowing. It is really, it brings a whole new dimension to the aria.
Yeah, the Vici d'arte, I mean, singers spend a lot of time in score study, and, you know, you take it apart, and you put it back together, and you take it apart again, and one of the only places I had a hard time really reconciling in the entire opera was the aria, and that's because all of a sudden you've got all of this incredible momentum and push and pull between Scarpia and Tosca, and then it makes a dead stop at the aria, where in Verismo opera we're always trying to tell the truth, right? We're trying to be as authentic as possible, and nobody would stop in a moment such as that and just start saying the words that she's saying. And so I was speaking to Doug, and I said, we need to find a way to pull Scarpia into this moment. And we did, and it is uncomfortable. But then, you know, not all of life is neat and tidy, is it? And I think it's a great way to
present it. Isn't she sort of singing, why has all this bad stuff happened mm-hmm. to me?
Yes.
I've been devoted to nothing more than art and love. And
I've never harmed a living soul. Why do you, God, repay me like this?
Why does bad stuff happen to good people?
Mm-hmm. Yes, why does bad stuff happen to good people?
Well, let's hear it.
Okay.
Vici d'arte from Puccini's Tosca, sung for us live on VPR Classical this morning by Suzanne Kantorsky, who is the Tosca in this production, with once again Mary Jane Austin at the piano.
Vis et dor te, vis et dor mor.
Vici d'Arte from Puccini's Tosca, sung for us live this morning on VPR Classical by Suzanne Kantorsky, who will be Tosca in the Opera Company of Middlebury production of Tosca, which is now ongoing at Town Hall Theater in Middlebury. Two more performances there.
I think there are a few tickets left for this evening. We're sold out for tomorrow. For tomorrow, thank you very much. And we're sold out for Sunday.
Terrific. You can find out more at ocmvermont.org, their website, and get in touch with the box office. I'm Walter Parker. You're listening to a live preview of the Middlebury Opera Company's Tosca. Excuse me. Artistic director Doug Anderson is with us, and we are now joined by the villain of the production, Scarpia, and that is played by Ruben Casas.
Casas, that's right.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Have you worked with the Opera Company of Middlebury before?
2016, I sang Banquo in Macbeth, and I was thrilled when I got the call to come back again, especially for this opera, so...
Is this a role that you've done before in other places?
Well, this is my fifth production of Tosca, actually. The first time I was in the chorus. The second time I was Sciarrone and the jailer. The third time I covered Scarpia. The fourth time I sang Angelotti and covered Scarpia. And now I'm Scarpia, five times later. So
persistence.
Well, what can we say about Scarpia? He's brutal, and he tries to take advantage of Tosca by threatening her lover.
Mm-hmm. Yes, true story. He does do that. It's incredible to be bad. It's good to be bad. I mean, let's just face it. I have practically nothing in common with this character. However, to get on stage and to act out horribly and to do things that you would never, ever do in your normal life is so rewarding. It really is.
Well, so you find something to sympathize with in Scarpia?
Well, as Suzanne said, I believe he believes in his mission. He might take some liberties here and there, if you will, but I believe he thinks that he is fighting the good fight.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us about what you're going to sing for us this morning.
I'm going to sing, it's sort of an arioso. It's the entrance of Act Two, where he basically says that life is his for the taking. Just like wine, he's going to sample women the same way.
He wants to taste every one of them.
That's right.
All right. Shall we hear it?
Sure.
Ruben Casas as Scarpia. From Puccini's Tosca, once again with Mary Jane Austin at the piano, live on VPR Classical.
Tosca in Don Falco, certo a quest'ora i miei seguggi le due prede azzannano. Doman sul palco vedrò loro angelotti. El bel modio e lo giupenderà. Tosca e palazzo.
darai questo biglietto. Ella verrà. Per amor del suo Mario. Per amor del suo Mario. Al piacer mio s'arrenderò. Tal de profondi amori e la profonda miseria a più forte sapore la conquista violenta che il bel il fu consenso. Io di sospiri e di latigi noci a pelunari, poco ma poco, non so trorri accordi di chitarra, né oroscopo di fior, né farlocchio di pesce, o tu bar come tortura. Cosa bravata perfetto, me ne sfaccio e vi l'accetto. Vuol tua nova esca, Dio creò diverse realtà di diversi. Io voglio star quanto più possa nell'opera divina.
And that was Scarpia.
I'm back.
Scarpia from Puccini's Tosca and sung by Ruben Casas.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
With Mary Jane Austin at the piano again as the orchestra.
You know, I might add that one of the we value theatrical values as well as musical values at Opera Company Middlebury. So we only hire singer actors. And I think you even sense, perhaps even over the radio, what passionate performers these are that we get. We get people who are totally inhabit the roles and play with great passion. And we've got a the threesome doing this show are just off the charts in terms of their acting abilities as well as their singing abilities.
Well, before we move on with more music from Tosca, let's talk about the touring aspect of this mm-hmm. production. After your two more performances at Town Hall Theater in Middlebury, you'll be taking it on tour for three performances, mm-hmm. and those performances will be in Cambridge, New York at Hubbard Hall on October 17th. That's a Thursday at 7. Saturday, October 19th at the Spruce Peak Performing Arts Center in Stowe at 3. And on Sunday, October 20th at 7 in Woodstock at Town Hall Theater in Woodstock. And you can get those details at ocmvermont.org. Now, how do you alter the production to make it tourable?
Well, you design it in a way that it's modular. So, because the four spaces we're playing in could not be more different. So you design it kind of in bits and pieces that you can assemble in different ways. This is the second year we've done this, Walter. We toured Elixir of Love last year to three different venues. And it's become an important part, I think, of Opera Company of Middlebury's mission. If our job is to bring opera to people, it should be people throughout the entire state. It's very difficult to tour, logistically difficult, and it's expensive. But this year we have major grants for touring from the Walter Cerf Foundation, the National
Endowment for the Arts,
the National Life Group out of Montpelier, and we have our first big grant from the National Endowment of the Arts. All of them supporting the idea of taking this marvelous work that we do and taking it to all of Vermont and not just to Addison County.
Now, how big is the orchestra for the Town Hall productions?
We have what we call a full orchestra in our little hall, which is about 23 people. At this point, we can't tour with a full orchestra just because we can't afford it, but we're traveling with a string quartet and the wonderful Mary Jane Austin on piano.
Who's capable of miracles at the keyboard.
There's no question.
Indeed.
Well, we're back with James Flora, our hero, Cavaradossi.
Yeah.
And you're going to sing more for us.
Yes, I am.
What are you going to sing now?
I'll be singing "E luce vanno stelle." In this aria, he's been tortured, and now he's going to be executed, and he's in jail awaiting his execution at 4 a.m. And he has just asked the jailer if he can trade his last possession, his ring, that I think is a sign of his affection for Tosca. He trades it for a piece of paper so that he can write her a goodbye. And in his aria, he discovers his feelings of he didn't mind losing his life for the cause, and that was something that was a given for Mario. But he now finds that he wants to live because he wants to be with Tosca, and he didn't realize how important she was to him until this moment. And at the beginning of the act there's a lot of music that is quoting the aria that's to come. It's giving us a precursor of the aria to come, and it's his memories of their times together. And at the beginning of the aria, he remembers, I think, the first time that they made love, and he recounts that, and he talks about all the senses, what he saw, what he heard, what he smelled, the moving of her feet in the sand, her fragrance entering the room before she did. And I was talking with a friend, and I think I forget which one of you it was. It was either Eric or Ruben. I think Coppola in The Godfather actually made this moment come to life when Corleone is in Sicily. And if you know that scene where he's married his Italian wife, I believe this, he is doing verbatim what this aria does. And it, because it's not sexual, it's intimate. It's a very intimate connection. And he recalls this moment, and then he says, "And now that is all gone, and I am going to die desperate."
Now, at this point, you've just been tortured rather...
brutally.
Horribly. And so now you're... Does your singing reflect that in some way?
Unfortunately, it does. I'm not sure that it's supposed to, but I will say that a challenge of this role in particular for me is not becoming too emotionally invested in this particular aria. That I can let that affect my voice, because it is such... it is such emotionally driven text, especially when he says, I'll die desperately, and never have I wanted to live so much.
But Jimmy, you're making a beautiful sound, but we hear the pain.
Well, thank you.
We do, in fact. You'll hear the pain.
Well, let's hear it.
All right.
This is James Flora as Cavaradossi from Puccini's Tosca. Once again, Mary Jane Austin at the piano.
Languidez dolcezze, mentre io fremente le belle forme di
James Flora as Cavaradossi from Puccini's Tosca. Let's see if we can get Suzanne up here.
Great.
And the both of you, since you're going to be singing together. Once again, Mary Jane Austin was at the piano. I'm Walter Parker. You're getting a preview of Opera Company of Middlebury's production of Puccini's Tosca. And we finally get the two lovers to sing together, Cavaradossi and Tosca. Suzanne Kantorsky as Tosca and James Flora as Cavaradossi. So tell us about what we're going to hear next.
Go ahead, Jamie.
So I'm painting and I get interrupted by a political prisoner in the church. I'm painting a portrait of the Maddalena, the Mary Magdalene. And someone comes in and he's a political prisoner, Angelotti. And I hide him when Tosca comes to visit while I'm painting.
So this is back from before.
This is back in Act 1. We don't have this any love duets after Act 1 because I get caught. Angelotti kills himself when he's caught. And I'm thrown in jail and tortured. And she's tortured. And, well, she listens to my torture and is then raped. And so we don't really get another love duet. We do have a tender moment at the very end in Act 3, but this is where we really establish our connection, this duet, and it's cheeky. We're fun. We have a good time. Mm-hmm. She's always being...
I think it's a private moment,
yeah,
actually.
It's a private moment. Yeah.
Like, nobody's there, or she thinks nobody's there. She doesn't know Angelotti's there. And, you know, she's on all the time. As performers know, when you're in public, you have your public self, and then you have your private self. And, you know, she's just coming in to kind of, you know, do what she does. She's a religious person, or a spiritual person. And she prays, and she was bringing flowers, and she's going to set it up because that's what she does. And, of course, she's dying to see the man that she loves so much. But it's interrupted a little bit for her, too, because she can see that he's off because you know your lover, you know. And she thinks that she heard somebody there, and there's a little bit of jealousy. And, you know, I think anytime someone's jealous, there's probably a reason, you know, not just because you love them, but also because maybe, you know, he could be flirtatious. He's also an artist too, and she just wants so badly to be the center of his focus and attention.
And I don't think he is unfaithful to her. I think what she doesn't like is, and what makes her question whether he has other lovers, is that he's focused on his art.
And isn't he painting, it's supposed to be the Madonna or
yeah.
something, but it really looks like a real woman
yes.
that they know?
It looks
yes.
like Angelotti's sister, yeah.
Who's a countess. You know,
yes.
Who is beautiful and is known for her beauty, and so she...
And
her blue eyes,
which are not Tosca's dark eyes. And so that's, yeah, they have a moment there.
Yeah.
Just, you know, paint the eyes black.
Yeah. Paint the dark eyes.
Paint those dark
eyes. Not the blue eyes.
Well, let's hear it then.
All right.
The duet of Tosca and Cavaradossi from Act 1 of Puccini's Tosca, sung live for us here on VPR Classical this morning by Suzanne Kantorsky as Tosca and James Flora as Cavaradossi, with Mary Jane Austin at the piano.
Amore, va!
Quanto m'affretti!
Ancora!
Oh, per te!
Davanti la Madonna!
Ed
thank you.
The first act, duet between the lovers Tosca and Cavaradossi, sung live for us on VPR Classical by Suzanne Kantorsky, soprano, and tenor James Floro. From Puccini's Tosca in the production of the Opera Company of Middlebury. We're getting a preview in this hour on VPR Classical. Once again, Mary Jane Austin at the piano. I'm Walter Parker, joined at the microphones by Artistic Director, the award-winning Douglas Anderson, receiving an award from the Vermont Arts Council.
Yes,
very soon. And Jeffrey Rink, the conductor, who will be leading this production and taking it on tour as well. You'll be conducting the performances on tour as well, Jeffrey?
Correct. That's correct. Mm-hmm.
Can I mention one thing about the tour that we neglected to mention? There's a chorus at the end of Act One singing the great Te Deum, which is one of the most exciting numbers in all of opera. But it's the only time the chorus appears, and they sing in unison. So we've taken a very unusual step in that in each of these three towns we're going to, we've raised local choruses in each of those places. Mary Jane has gone and rehearsed with these people in these various... So in each town, there will be people from that community in probably their very first opera showing up at that moment. And so it's a great kind of outreach, and we're making a lot of new friends now in all of these towns.
Plus, all their relatives probably will come.
Well, we're aware of that.
A shrewd move, Doug. Well, no, and that's a nice touch.
It's a really nice touch, and it's been great fun to do.
Well, the touring locations will be October 17th, a Thursday, at Hubbard Hall in Cambridge, New York. October 19th, a Saturday, at 3 p.m. at Spruce Peak Performing Arts Center in Stowe, and Sunday, October 20th, at 7 at Woodstock's Town Hall Theater. Once again, you can get all the details of these productions, these performances, at ocmvermont.org. Well, thank you all so much for coming today.
An absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Jeffrey Rink, pleasure to meet you.
Pleasure to meet you too, Walter.
And good luck with the remaining performances.
Thank you, Walter. We're really looking forward to it.
We'll go out with some more of Puccini as played by the Cincinnati Pops.